Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Join WCCO and Bud Light before Minnesota and Detroit this Sunday from our tailgate party at 6th Street across from U.S. Bank Stadium. Enjoy some pregame beverages, score some tickets, and enjoy the live DJ on the Nick'em Knock stage from 9 a.m. until you head to the game. That's directly across from 6th Street from U.S. Bank Stadium. Joining us now, athletic director now at Creighton-Dereham Hall High School, Mr. Phil Archer, new to the position, but certainly familiar to Creighton-Dereham Hall and sports in general. Covered him when he was with the Golden Gophers and beyond. Always good to visit with you. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How you been?
Good. I promised we'd call if you'd been there for a bit to see how life was going as an athletic director. Now, take us back. Set the stage first, because you played at Creighton-Dereham Hall. You've been involved in football for a long time and sports for a long time. What piqued your interest about this job, and what has it been like?
Well, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, made a decision to start to get back into sports when I was done playing. I wrapped up in about 2007, bouncing back and forth between the Chargers, the Vikings, and NFL Europe, and took some time off. And a handful of years ago, Tyrone Carter came to me and got me involved with some of his training school stuff, and then McAllister College came after that. And then, last year we said we should, look into going back into doing something in athletics full-time versus just being in the business world. And, I always had in the back of my mind of going back to CDH and helping be a part of that culture and helping to create it and cultivate it and grow and build on what had been in place when I was there. And the opportunity arose. I got a phone call. I'm sure you remember the name, Yuki Dozier.
Oh, yeah.
A good buddy of mine from the U of M. And we were on the Vikings practice squad together. I think it was 05 or something like that. And he called me and said, hey, you should look into this. And it was the right opportunity at the right time, and just excited to be back in there and have some influence over what happens with that place.
What was it an easy process? Were you a slam dunk because of your background, or was it hard to get the job? What was it like?
I wouldn't say that it was a slam dunk by any means, being that I had not been an athletic director for or in education. I had been a part of McAllister's football department and their athletic department as a whole, but there was definitely, a longer interview process and things, but they knew that, it was in my best interest and our family's as a whole best interest to, be a part of Creighton-Dereham Hall for a longer period of time, and I think it worked out well.
So you get in, and I always think athletic director is kind of an eye-opener, because people think athletics and they think about being at practices and games and all
right.
That stuff. And yeah, you get to attend them, but it's much different because you're working so much with logistics and coaches.
Correct.
I know this sounds like a kind of a naive question, but explain, what does an athletic director do every day?
I mean, you name it. And at the high school level, I was spoiled with McAllister. I got to see Kim Chandler do her thing, which is really kind of a community relations person and playing chess within there. At the high school level, man, I mean, you name it. I have done everything from sending out contracts for games and scheduling buses to, I played football from the time I was fifth grade all the way up until I was 27 years old. I had never lined a football field before. I got experience lining.
You actually probably had no idea who did do it, right? You show up and it's there.
None, exactly. And so we had a situation where that had to get done. So our head grounds guy and myself went out and did it one day. So there's been a lot of fun little experiences through these last handful of months that I've gotten kind of eye opening experiences that have all been positive, but you never really knew all of the ins and the outs of what your athletic director does. So, I mean, if you're playing a high school sport or even a collegiate sport, go thank your athletic director tomorrow.
Now you understand that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let's go through a couple of things that are paramount to being a good athletic director. One is parents. Parents have an involvement. They have a vested interest, and for very good reason, they care a lot about their kids, how they're treated, et cetera. Where do parents fit in? What kind of dialogue do you allow for between yourself, them, and coaches?
Well, I think that every parent wants their kid to have a great experience, and I think a big piece of that is communication. So One of the things that I've learned from mentors of mine in the athletic world and outside of the athletic world is having proper communication and proper expectation. And so with a lot of our parent meetings and a lot of our interactions that we have with parents, it's making sure that there's good communication so that everyone feels comfortable on what your athletic department's philosophies are, how they handle situations, proper lines and channels of communication for the kids, the parents, the coaches, et cetera. So that's a big thing. You know, every parent wants their kid to do well and learn lessons and grow from the experiences that sports give them. But it's the relationships between the parents, coaches, kids, and the school as a whole that are really going to, you know, give that kid an ultimate experience.
What kind of policies do you have about cutting athletes in terms of how many you can carry on each team?
It kind of varies from team to team. That's kind of more of a coach's that's kind of a coach's decision on that, as long as they fall within the guidelines of the Minnesota State High School League. You know, we definitely want to put the best kids out there, but we also want to take a second and say, hey, who can we develop and who can learn through these experiences to be the best kid in 3 to 4 years?
And so like for football, is it a no-cut policy, or what do you guys have?
At CDH, yeah, there's a no-cut policy for that because there's no roster limitations for that.
Yeah.
But there are other sports like volleyball that do have roster limitations. And so, you know, we let the coaches determine how heavily they're going to weight their roster. And so, again, it kind of varies from sport to sport depending on the state league's rules.
Now, you hired a new baseball coach last week with a pretty good background.
Yeah, very excited about Tony Ciccolello coming in here. He's got a long history, a long track record with Creighton-Durham Hall, and it's really exciting for me as an alumni to bring another alumni on board that I know has that purple and gold running through his veins. It's been something for him since he was a kid, growing up and seeing baseball played there and then getting the chance to play baseball there. And now, you know, he came back as an assistant coach for 5 years, from 2005 to 2009 to like 13, somewhere in there. And then went off and did his head coach thing at a couple of different places. But we're excited to have Tony back. He's going to bring some great energy. One of the things I like the most about what he is going to bring to the table is his vision for the future of the program and the development of it.
And he's going to bring some more Creighton alums in with him, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of those things of having such a rich baseball history is you've got guys like, you know, a Jack Hanahan, Buzz Hanahan, the Maurer family, all these different people that want to come back in and be a part of this deal. And Tony's got great relationships with all those people. So expect to see some of those names around the Creighton-Durham Hall baseball program.
What do you ask of your coaches? What is it that they need to be as leaders?
Well, setting a proper example is kind of the first and foremost of any leader, and that's in athletics, that's in business, that's in a family, however you want it. So we always talk about, you know, setting the proper example first and foremost. You know, how do we want to conduct ourselves on and off the field, when we're out in the community, you know, everywhere you go, especially, you know, at the larger high school level, you're representing not just yourself and your family, but you're also representing that school because, you know, people are going to know who you are when you're in those higher profile positions. So that's the first, I guess, 31 of the conversation is making sure that you're setting the proper example and then having proper expectations for your athletes, letting them know what's required, what's expected, what, you know, how they're supposed to conduct themselves and know that they're a steward of the Creighton-Durham Hall program and really, you know, athletics in general.
What kind of rules do you have for the athletes in terms of what you expect for them across the board, no matter what sport it is?
So this is a good one. I mean, Rich Kalik had this rule. I'm sure you're familiar with Rich Kalik from way back in the day. And you know, I had great, great parents, but, you know, sometimes you have that guy that's like a second dad to you or a second parent to you. And that was him for me. And he had a rule, and this is very clear cut. He said, if you don't want your mom to see you doing it, you probably shouldn't do it.
Pretty simple, right?
You know, I look at that as a base foundation. Obviously, there's more gray area than that, but I think that's a pretty easy standard to abide by. And, you know, you think about that thought in your head. If you don't want mom to see you doing it, you might
think twice.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
So do you get, Phil, because you were, you know, quite an athlete yourself, are you able to inject yourself and have some good moments with the kids? And are you able to teach them a little bit and give them some of your own wisdom?
Yeah, one of the cool things about, I guess, with my background and my history, it gives us a certain level of credibility when talking to, you know, a young man or a young woman about, you know, athletics or just life in general. Having lived all over the world, and I got sent to NFL Europe twice, so I've got different experiences living in totally different cultures and stuff. And so, having that, it kind of creates a certain ear for them to listen. And it's been great because I've been able to connect with basketball players, football players. I've had great conversations with several of the volleyball ladies in our program on leadership and stuff like that. And I think it kind of it piques their interest a little bit because of the level that I was able to achieve throughout my playing career. So it lets me have a little bit more influence with them out the gate, which is awesome because obviously I want to see them do the best that they can while they're at CDH and beyond. And if, that extra little tidbit, me playing football professionally for a handful of years or whatever, gives me that in to be able to influence them that much more, it's a great thing.
I saw Michael Floyd today. Of course, he's a Creighton Durham Hall product. Do you know him well? Have you guys had a chance to kind of stand behind him and all this?
Yeah, Mike's a little bit younger than I am, but I'm very good friends with Shady Solomon, and him and Mike are very close. So we've got a pretty good
relationship. Yeah, what's the Shadester doing now?
Shady's down in Chicago land area. He's working with Stryker Medical. So he's doing well. He's doing really good. Hasn't done anything with football for some time, but he's an outstanding young man. He's absolutely killing it in the business world right now, and I'm super proud of him. He went through his ups and downs with the Gophers and the whole thing, and I was able to walk with him through that. And that's really where him and I started to build that relationship, being Creighton Durham Hall alumni and Gopher alumni. So we connected and bonded on that front and was able to help him, continue down the path. So,
And Michael's got, he's got a chance to make an impact for the Vikings here.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a huge opportunity in front of him. And I think it's cool that even right now, early on in the season, when he hasn't been able to contribute much on Sundays, he's doing a lot to impact the team, throughout the week in a preparation standpoint and I think a mentality standpoint too. Guys that are able to perform at a high level, at that high level, will help a team, progress, leaps and bounds just through mindset, work ethic, mentality, stuff like that.
Now, obviously, the national anthem and the whole who's kneeling and who's joining hands has drawn a lot of conversation at the professional level. You may have someone walk in your office and ask for your opinion on that, or the kids. Do you guys have a philosophy on it?
Well, we play the national anthem before every varsity sporting event. That's our policy. We don't dictate anything more than that. We actually have been blessed and haven't had to deal with that issue.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's looking through the old handbook right now, right?
Exactly. So, it's kind of a tough situation. I've got family members and very close people to me that have served and have bent over backwards for the country as a whole. But I also, grew up in the same neighborhood and knew Philando Castile, So, I understand both sides of the aisle.
You grew up by him?
We were all in that same Rondo Midway area there. So I understand. Trust me, I understand.
Yeah, and you've heard all angles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, in a locker room like you've been in so many times, I was just saying earlier that it's been my impression that I hate to say that guys have been thrown into this, but the vast majority of them, I don't necessarily think have really thought deeply about whether or not it merits kneeling or standing, and they just want to play some football, and they just want to show people at this stage, hey, we're all one team here, and we're united, more so than trying to really sort it out. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, my assistant AD and I were talking today about it. It's like there's so many different little angles that's going on with this thing now.
And to be honest with you, the poor players can't get their arms around it all. What does it mean if you kneel or stand,
know? So when I look at it, I really do like the unified front aspect.
Yeah, that's it. We're all one, right?
We're unified in one. We're going to support each other. Our views might differ on some aspects of the thing, but at the end of the day, we're a team. We're going to fight for each other. And I think the country as a whole could learn some stuff from that.
I do too, and I wish to. And I'll be honest with you, I wish the guys at Neil would just be part of that too, because it doesn't mean that we don't hear them. It just means that let's show that you can rise above that and still have differing opinions and be one, because that's a little bit about what sports just teaches us at the high school level too, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's it. I mean, when you look at the lessons that are taught through, especially team sports, and I use football quite a bit as an example because, football is one of those odd sports where you have the opportunity to win or lose, then you got to deal with it, then you got to move on, and then you got to do it again, like every 10 to 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where you have 11 guys going through that process multiple times every couple of minutes. And there's huge lessons to be learned from that, from the team side of things. And it's hard to find those in other places. It's very similar in the military. You know, guys that are working towards a common goal together, you know, tend to get unified, and race, creed, color, all those different things tend to take a back seat to the mission or the goal.
Now, Brooks Bollinger is your football coach. You must have played against him in college, or weren't you about the same time?
We did. We played against each other a couple times.
I hope he doesn't remind you of that.
I think we got him once.
Did you get him
twice.
Once?
He might have got us one, two times. Maybe we got him once, I think, in our time there.
Because he's pretty dominant when he was there, yeah.
Yeah, he did very well. He came in with some pretty heavy firepower in Wisconsin, though. He had some great backs, obviously huge offensive line that you know, they did anything they needed him to.
How's he doing as the head coach? What's it like to work with him?
You know, he's doing really well. One thing that I do like and I appreciate a ton about Brooks is the character and the mentality piece that he brings to the table. So the old school discipline, but he understands that kids don't communicate like they did when him and I were playing football in high school, and they just, you know, strictly did what you're told without, you know, explanation sometimes. And so he's a very good communicator with the kids, and that's one of the things I think that he brings to the table that's just absolutely phenomenal is he has those same core values of an old school guy like a Mel Scanlon or a Rich Kallick, but he's a good communicator on working with the kids of current today to be able to understand why they need to do what they're doing, not just do this because I said so. And I think that's a huge asset to have in 2017 with the type of, you know, kids that we're working with.
So overall, taking over the job as athletic director, have you found it to be more challenging than you thought, more details than you thought, more what?
Well, not more challenging or more details at all by any means. I mean, I did my homework coming into it. And I think anyone that's going to be successful in any sort of leadership position is going to have a heck of a team around them. And so I've got a ton of people there that that do really good things, from our social media people and our PR people all the way to, you know, my associate athletic director, Kelly Hood, who's, you know, he's a 25-year veteran in the athletic, being an athletic director. And so he does a very good job of, you know, reminding me of little things that I should be doing, maybe etiquette-wise, working with other ADs or other schools and stuff like that. So it's really the supporting cast that can make the leader look good at the end of the day. And so those are, you know, learning how to work with them and learning my role, you know, for the school and to assist and help all of them do their job at the highest level they can. That's where I think we're going to have a lot of really cool things happen at CDH.
Phil, appreciate talking to you, buddy. Always appreciate it, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Great to hear from you, Mike. I love chatting with you anytime.
You bet. Phil Archer, now the athletic director at Crete and Durham Hall, played professional football, played for the University of Minnesota, and much more. Take a break, come back. We'll talk about, should you stand for the national anthem or should you stand against it if there's something in your personal life that merits it? Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. So the question is, should they stand or kneel, or should they take advantage of publicity garnered by the national anthem to make a statement? My opinion is real simple. I don't think it's asking too much to stand for the national anthem, period. I think that's the least you can do to respect the flag, the troops, and the opportunities that we have here in this country. And that includes the opportunity to protest if you want. But I think that you should do that on your own time. And I understand different people have different disagreements with this country. We all do. But I don't think it's asking too much to stand for the national anthem. What don't I understand about this? What is it I don't see? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. It is my belief, as I sit and talk to these different players, and I've talked to a lot of them about this now, that there may be some unrest, there may be some, you know, they may have an issue or two, but the vast majority don't believe that merits kneeling during the national anthem. The vast majority believe, you know what, I still respect that flag. And that's why if you had 200 guys that kneeled, that there's 1,700 players, 1,500 of them stood. What do you want to focus on, media? 612-989-9226. You can text us at 81807. I think there's a certain decency and respect that we all have to have for this country. And one of the beauties of it is we come together over one thing. And that is that flag and the opportunities that it permits for us all. All. Democrats, Republicans, independents, Christians, Muslims, Jewish, atheists, y'all get a crack if you come here to the United States of America. And I think at minimum, it's okay to stand up and pay homage to that or move on. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226, or you can text us at 81807. Mike Max, Sports to the Max, WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. So the way I got this thing figured is this. It doesn't hurt any of us to stand for the national anthem. And there's still a lot of different ways that you can call attention to the issues that you have in your life that you want to see identified as such. But that's independent of standing for the national anthem. Because that's just a sign of respect for the people that came before us and did things for us that allowed us these opportunities. What am I missing on this? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226, or you can text us anytime at 81807. Back when Bud Grant came to town, he used to have them practice standing at attention for the national anthem. He's a veteran. He understood what that meant. He understood the importance of that flag. And he wanted his team to be at its best during that time. And as Bud has pointed out many times when I've been out with him on the speaking circuit, if it wasn't for sporting events, where else would you even hear the national anthem? Where else would you hear the national anthem if it wasn't for sporting events? This is the one place that we have a chance to pay respect to the flag. They don't play the national anthem other places. They don't play it. They don't play it. You can pledge allegiance to school, I guess. But they don't play the national anthem anywhere else. I can't think of another place that they play the national anthem except sporting events. So if we're only going to do it there, it becomes paramount that we do it right, doesn't it? And that we pay homage to people that have given us these opportunities. If I'm missing something in this, I don't know. But think about that. Where else would you have heard the national anthem or understood its words or anything else if not for sporting events? And so why not? Why not salute the flag during that time? Even if you don't like this country, even if it's still this, it's the country you've chosen to live in, And I don't understand what's the big deal about that. Can you not respect the freedom that you've been given and then work on your causes at a different time? 612-989-9226. Text line open at 81807. I think they should, this is a text, I think they should stand and honor America. I wonder what they do on Memorial Day. Here's another one. I miss Bud Grant. That came before. Phone lines are filled. Let's go to
Bob in Robbinsdale.
Bob in Robbinsdale, you're on.
Mike, good evening. I do want to preface what I have to say by telling you I first knew of you when you went duck hunting at Jack Kreis's place.
Oh, my gosh.
Off of Highway 65.
Ralph John Fritz back in the good old days up on Big Sandy and the rice paddies. Lots of great memories.
Yeah, we go back a long way, Mike. I think me a little longer than you.
Those are good times, though.
Yeah, one of the things, and I owned a business, and I always thought that when I told somebody to do something, they should do it because they're on my payroll. If they're not on their payroll, I really don't care what they do. And that's the way I really view this NFL thing. If the coach or the owner, because you ultimately work for the owner, if he says, I want everybody to stand up and hold hands or give everybody a bro hug during the national anthem, so be it. I mean, what's so hard about following orders? Hopefully they do it when they're on the field, and they should do it when they're standing for the national anthem or if they all want to take a knee. But they're a team. They should be united on this. And I think what you said earlier, Mike, that the players, that they know that it's teamwork that makes them successful. So be a team and all stand or kneel or whatever you want to do, but do it in unison.
Yeah, some teams did a beautiful job of that. Bob, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Helen on line two.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you, Helen?
I'm good. So, Mike, I got to tell you, 99.9999 percent of the time, I totally agree with you. And you'd said, tell me what I'm thinking wrong about this.
Yep.
I don't know that it's necessarily, Mike, that you're thinking wrong. I think it's just a different perspective on how people see their voice and what they can say or what they can do to accentuate their voice. I think what we're wrong here is the difference between, okay, I'm going to use some highfalutin terms, jingoism and patriotism. Right? And I think what you're talking about...
Don't get too complicated on me. You know I can only handle so much, Helen.
I don't know. You're a piper.
That's true. That gives me an advantage, yeah.
So I think with patriotism, that's what you're talking. You're like, this is our country, and we need to honor it, and we need to stand for it. And I think for some people, they see... They're seeing this as a lot of people aren't truly patriots. Their jingoism, and they only call out patriotism when it's convenient for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference there. I think that a lot of the football players, I don't know any of them, but I think a lot of them are showing their patriotism by saying, we want more for our nation.
Well, that's a good point. I hear what you're saying. They're saying true patriotism is trying to affect change. But is this the best way to affect change?
That's the question.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like, if truly you think
really
this is,
it
are
difference?
You doing this to make for a better country? And I assume most of them are. But is this the time and place to do it during the national anthem? Something sacred to many of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your thought is it's okay?
I don't know that I've come. I don't know that I've come to that yet, Mike. I think in my generation. You know, I'm well into my 50s, and I grew up at a time, my dad is a Korean War vet, and I grew up in a time where that totally showed my respect for being an American and for my nation. And I think it's a different generation, and, you know, what I'd love to do is to be able to pick their brains and sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. And find out really where they're at.
Maybe that's the best thing will come out of this, is that we'll get a chance to pick some brains and we'll say, hey, you know what? Maybe I didn't get it. I guess right now I just don't get it. Helen, thanks for your call.
All right.
Let's go to Corky in St. Michael. Corky, you're on.
Hey, hi. How are you?
By the way, you got a pretty good high school team out there this year.
Yeah, not doing too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay, your first name?
I totally, myself, I stand, I stop what I'm doing, put my hand over my heart, and I look at the flag.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole reason that, I mean, the reason that these guys can take a knee, lock arms, do whatever they want to do, is because... people have served for this country, sacrificed themselves for that privilege, that right.
Amen.
As a person, I'm totally against kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
But as an American, they have that right. You can't stop them.
Yeah, I guess what you come down to here is they have the right, and we have the right, and other people have the right to criticize them for doing it, too.
Correct. Yeah.
You know?
But I don't believe they're wrong. I mean, if Martin Luther King would have had this this stage to protest like these players are...
Been interesting to see what he would have told them, wouldn't it?
You know, he would have done it. He would have been, you know, as a veteran, I'm against it, but as a person, you know, they totally have that right. They totally have that right.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, you're right. They do have their right, and I think we all have the right to ask them why, I guess. And some here's a text. I wonder if it's more a commentary on the president over the flag or patriotism. Yeah, it's a little bit of a commentary on the president, to be sure. But, you know, the president, one thing you maybe have learned and why he became president that many of you don't want to accept is – when he makes statements, he usually resonates with some people out there. He doesn't just say things off the cuff because he's saying them off the cuff. He says them because he knows there's quite a group out there that believes what he believes. And if he says taking a knee isn't good enough, standing is, well, he knows. He knows there's a great big base out there that believes that too. Otherwise, he wouldn't be president. I know a lot of you people know you want to refute that and pretend that it's not the way it is. Oh, but I don't like Donald Trump. He should be worried about North Korea right now and the floods. I think he can do both. I think he can multitask, still make a statement. I don't think it's that hard, but there's a reason that he's the president, because he figured out what people are thinking out there, and he played to it. And in his, the people that challenged him in the Republican primaries couldn't do it. John in St. Paul, you're on.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to challenge the idea that kneeling is before the flag is a bad idea or irreverent. Like, many of us kneel at church on Sunday. You're an athlete. You kneel when you're listening to your coach. Like, I don't think it's defiance. I think it's reverence. I see it as a that they're praying for a better America. So why? I want to put this question to you, Mike. Why is kneeling before the flag irreverent?
Because it's symbolism. The symbolism that they know, premeditated, is that they're in defiance of, and they know that the sign or the signal they're sending is it's in defiance of the American flag, and that's why.
Mike, do you really think it's defiance?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think there's a time and place for everything that they want, but the flag and the national anthem isn't the place for it. That's my opinion. Now, my opinion isn't law, but I'm saying I think that there's a place and a time. You can't affect change without people having protests and getting angry. I get that. You cannot affect change.
Nor do you
ever have to apologize
for
trying to create change and create a better America. I'm saying I don't think this is the time and the place.
Yeah, but kneeling is not a defiant position, and I think you should think about that. About these guys are not putting their fist up or...
Yeah, you compare it to, I got you, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that should be considered. And next time you take a knee at church or with your coach or whatever, I think that should be considered. I think it's a submissive posture, and they're saying that they've been submitted to a lot of difficult situations.
Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks, Mike.
You bet. Appreciate it. Diane in Columbia Heights, what do you think?
Hey there, Mike. I got to say, let me read my opinions off. If there's no reason for them to kneel if they're protesting religion, skin color, gender, and I think the whole thing is about... being patriotic to your nation. Now, the last fellow said they're not putting their fists up. Well, then does that mean they're protesting peacefully? I mean, and why are they protesting on the field if this is a game these gentlemen were paid to play? I mean, and the song is about being patriotic to our nation. It's not about let's protest, whatever your qualm, religion, color, gender, that's my opinion.
Hey, Diana, I appreciate that. Thank you for your call. And for people that say this about Donald Trump, let me tell you, Colin Kaepernick happened before Donald Trump was president. All right. Barack Obama was the president when Colin Kaepernick started protesting. So be careful on that one. I know what you people want to believe. I'm just saying be careful on that one. Let's go to one more call.
Jeff in Inver Grove Heights.
Jeff in Inver Grove Heights.
I might say I'm a veteran. I've got five brothers, and three of us are veterans. My dad came from a family of five, with three boys, and they're all veterans. My mom came from a family of nine kids and five boys. All the boys are veterans. And the least you can do is stand up for the national anthem. We deserve it. Give us some respect. There's a lot of veterans out there that can't stand today because they've lost their legs, limbs, arms, whatever, and just show us veterans some respect. That's what the national anthem's about, freedom. You want to protest? Fine. Do it somewhere else other than on the field.
Thank you for your call. We'll end on that one. And I think that's what somebody texted here, Max, when is it okay for them to protest? I think when they're off the field. I don't think during the national anthem is the time to do that. It's an easy audience, I get, but I don't think that's the time to do it. Maplewood Toyota time is 8:52. Al Malmberg, my man, we only got a minute here, so we got a firestorm going with this national anthem thing.
What national anthem thing? There was football yesterday?
There was football yesterday, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there they played some games.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that as well. People are really stoked up about this. But you know what else we're going to do?
Yeah.
Did you know that today was officially one-hit wonder day nationally?
What does that mean?
Groups that had top hits in the top 40 rock charts.
Only did it once?
They only
like the Monkees,
achieved
maybe.
That. No, they had several.
Okay.
But like Vicki Lawrence, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia was one.
That's the night that they hauled an innocent man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Question Mark and the Mysterians, another one. They had 96 tears.
Really?
Yeah. Then there was Barry McGuire, The Eve of Destruction.
All right. We got to go here, but we'll look forward to that. Because he's
very
got
good,
blood
sir.
Stains on his hand. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.